Some years ago, I was looking at updating a survey that Dick Moss was using while at Hewlett-Packard to evaluate the reliability programs in different design teams across the corporation. And he later wrote about it in the Handbook of Reliability Engineering and Management by Iris and Coombs and Moss. But I was updating that survey, and I asked a friend of mine that had way more experience in various aspects of product development than I did. I asked him what were the various techniques that were used in reliability engineering and in product development, and such that I would be aware of what's possible or what's available as I go into these surveys and these studies. Well, I had a list of about, I think it was 39 or 40 different topics. Highly accelerated life testing and derating techniques and a variety of different tools, pretty much the alphabet soup of acronyms and abbreviations. Well, Jay came back to me a few days later with well over 400 different techniques. Now, he got into specific failure analysis tools and design techniques and different kinds of CAD and finite element modeling and simulation techniques, different kinds of formulas and physics of failure analysis, and the list was exhaustive. And he said that he stopped because he knew that there was more, but he felt that he could get the list to me sooner than try to track down the last few hundred, I guess, or so that he was thinking of. But needless to say, there are a lot of techniques, and there's lots of ways of evaluating reliability performance while working on a design. Now, the basic idea is that we're trying to create a feedback mechanism into the design and development phase so that we can make appropriate decisions as to whether something will be reliable enough or sufficiently durable for its intended purpose. Now, the design team also has many other different elements they need to consider, and reliability is just one of many. But having the information for reliability is often very, very difficult to have happen because it takes time to actually know if it's going to work or not. And there's many different failure mechanisms as opposed to when we're looking at cost or time to market. Those are pretty directly measurable or at least simpler to measure than the expected durability of a system. Now, there are lots and lots of approaches to product development and design and development, depending on the industry you're working in and the type of market you're designing for. What's the intended use? Is this a customer-specified product and design, or is it designed in the specifications created internally and then adjusted as the market reacts? But whichever system you're using, it's been my opinion, and I've seen this someplace, and I'm drawing a blank as to where I saw this quote, that about 80% of quality problems are design related. Now, quality is a bit more expansive than reliability, and the quality folks are usually quick to remind me of that. But I also like to think of as reliability as just quality over time. So I think it's a pretty simple or similar statement that the majority of reliability problems are design related. And so it's whichever method that we're using to design and develop a product, it's getting the appropriate information back to the design teams or have the design teams consider the appropriate information is essential in order to make good decisions that create a reliable product. Now, I did mention that the design team has many, many different factors that they have to consider in the design process. There's cost and time to market when they plan on shipping, manufacturing considerations, the marketing considerations, the customer expectations, the functionality, and all of those different elements. Now, just on the reliability part, this is just a short list of the types of things that will impact the reliability of a product. Now, some of these are environmental, some of them are performance, and some of them are assembly and manufacturing related, and some are based strictly on the customer's expectations. Now, what's interesting is that all of these will change. As your product comes to market, matures, and gets used, it will go from a well-protected, valued piece of a person's equipment set to just another piece of in the background that gets a little extra thought and or care. But the idea is that all of these things, and it all it takes is one of them to cause most of your products to fail prematurely, to really cause a problem. And so it's, of all of the different ways a product can fail, our focus is often spread very, very thin of all of the possible ways something could go wrong. But on the other hand, we need to make sure that the product is durable enough across all of these different factors and considerations. And primarily we do that in the design process. Now, the recent update to the ISO 9001 included quite a bit on risk and risk management, which to a large degree includes the risk of the impact of a faulty designs leading to poor reliability. A market recall, for example, is a significant risk of bringing a product to market. But they also talk about the systems that support the design and development process. And it's a pretty basic five-step process, and they explain it succinctly in the document. But the idea is that it's a phased approach, and most organizations may not call them or will have a different series of events or triggers for the different phases, but they typically include the design and development process that includes setting specifications, gathering information, and then eventually setting controls and validating, verifying the design meets the requirements, and then managing changes so that the product actually being produced is still within the design intent or better. Now, we're going to talk about a series of different considerations and tools in the next series of lessons, and we'll spend quite a bit of time talking about a design of experiments because it's a pretty comprehensive chunk of information. But any one of these things can be an entire course in and of themselves. But we'll break down the ones we can, cover the salient points, and give you that refresher that you're looking for as you prepare for the exams. So next, we'll dive into the first area of consideration, the environment, and how the product is being used.